New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now, during our Black Friday sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus special financing. Limited time. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Hello, welcome everyone. It is FMC. I'm Jeremy. That is SB3. It is Tuesday, November 12th. And we're here to talk about basketball. The NBA Cup begins tonight and takes place on Tuesdays and Fridays. We got a week to recap, including terrible news. We got the challenge to recap. We're going to be joined by our pal, Cher Delaware, later on in the show to talk about the challenge. But before we get to all that, SB3, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing well, still getting reacclimated, being 5 hours behind because us Americans is always behind the rest of the world. So I was ahead of everybody in the UK, but still getting used to the US times, but doing well. Excited to talk about some NBA. We got the Cleveland Cavaliers still proving me wrong. They heard our preview. You've watched it. Everyone watched it. The Cleveland Cavaliers watched it, and I underestimated them, and now they're still unbeaten. You got the NBA Cup, my favorite time of the year, because my Los Angeles Lakers are, of course, the reigning NBA Cup champions, because we get a banner. It must be as important as an NBA championship, so we got to discuss it. And, of course, the challenge and Laurel.
We will get to her. Guys, leave a thumbs up on the video if you're here now or if you're watching on demand. It doesn't matter if you're live or if you're watching on replay. The thumbs up helps the video. If you are here, you can leave a question, comment, statement in the chat. Leave a super chat. That helps us out. Or just leave a chat. We always talk with our chat. We love our chat. Most of you. Not all of you. Most of you. We do like. Let's get into the NBA season. SP3. The Cleveland Cavaliers still unbeaten. Their next three games, pretty easy. They got the Sixers, who have Paul George, whatever's left of him. They've got the Bulls, who aren't that good. And they've got the Hornets. That's their next three games. Then they face the Celtics a week from today, an NBA Cup game.
Oh, that's prestigious. We got to talk about that. That's like almost as important as like a conference finals to me.
You got to stop with this NBA Cup just because the Lakers won it last year.
I mean, who's the bigger champions to have the first time ever NBA Cup champions than the Los Angeles Lakers? So it's got to be important. We got a banner.
It's so dumb to have a banner for that. So dumb.
Got a banner.
I mean, you have one, but like, technically, can't you hang a banner for anything? You know what I mean? Like, that's a joke on Twitter is like, oh, won the offseason, hang the banner. The Knicks fans they get made fun of for this stuff. You know, started 6-3, hang the banner. You know, you can technically hang a banner for anything. Right,
but it's a tournament. It's an in-season tournament. We win a tournament. Mm. College teams do it all the time. They win the Honolulu, the one in Hawaii.
Do they hang a banner? The Maui Invitational.
Maui Invitational.
Do they hang a banner for that stuff? I don't think. Do they? No, they don't.
I mean, they get a trophy.
Okay, they get a trophy. You don't need to hang a banner just because you get this trophy.
You should hang a banner.
I don't think any banner should be hung outside of conference champions and world championships. In-season tournaments.
2024 Maui Invitational Champions.
Winning your division. I don't think you should hang a banner for winning your division.
They do.
I know they do. I think it's dumb.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Conference champion. That shows you were the best team in the conference that season. You know, you made the finals. That's worth celebrating. And then obviously winning a championship. You want to hang a banner for that. But division champion, big deal. You won your division. Who cares about a division title? It's meaningless.
Disrespectful. Disrespectful.
NBA Cup, definitely. You would hang a banner
for NBA Cup, divisional champion, Western Conference, Eastern Conference champion, and NBA championship. All deserve a banner. Not banners of the same quality. Like, the NBA championship should be the biggest banner, so you know the difference in the banners. But I think that all of these deserve acknowledgement as banners.
It's too participation trophy.
No.
You get a banner.
You won something. I don't understand. I don't understand your why you're so against banners.
Banners are very significant. You want to hang a banner for an all-star game? You want to do that?
Like, no. Every no, team that's an individual thing.
Yeah, all right, you win the MVP. So you raise – should they raise banners for MVPs? Like, hey, we had the MVP this year. Why don't they raise banners for that?
No, because that's an individual thing.
That's but he played on the team. But if, yeah, if you listen to any MVP ever, they praise the team. No MVP says – I did it all myself. They should. It'd be hilarious. Russell Westbrook should have. That should have been his speech instead of crediting Steven Adams and Victor Oladipo and all these guys. He's like, these dudes suck. I had to get a triple double. Could you imagine how bad we would have been if I didn't put up these numbers? All praise be to me. Raise my banner.
That's what you wanted. I'm sure that's what you wanted.
Okay, well, my point is, though, that all the MVPs thank their team, so why shouldn't the team raise a banner for the MVP?
Because it wasn't for the team. Whatever he did in that game, it's an exhibition. It's outside of the regular season.
Exhibition? What?
If they win the regular season MVP, then we can discuss banners.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I thought you said All-Star game.
No.
Okay. I thought you said the All-Star game. So
I did initially, but I meant I can see the confusion. That's on me.
Yeah.
But I meant like MVP. Like, why wouldn't you raise a banner for the guy winning an MVP award?
We can discuss that.
Why?
It has to be smaller than the conference final. Our conference winning, going to the NBA finals and winning your conference. It's got to be smaller than that.
What banner is just like a piece of paper?
All if you make it to the All-Star game.
You want, hold on. You want banners for people that make All-Star games?
Yep. You said a piece of paper. Banner is a piece of paper? Yeah, they get like a certificate. It's like if they like, okay, these are our honor students like every year. Yeah.
I hate people who drive around the bumper stickers. My kid's an honor student. Good for you. Slash your tires. Can he fix a flat tire with all this book knowledge that they have? Because I'll put that to the test.
This is how it is. This is how you feel seeing those bumper stickers.
Yeah. Yeah. If I see one of those bumper stickers, I'm going to slash their tires.
This is just another day in the life in Ohio.
The wife just messaged, didn't realize the hate you had. I can't stand it. I can't stand these bumper stickers that say, my kid's an honor student, and it's so-and-so. All right. So?
You're gonna see NBA moms working, my kid's an all-star. That's what they get. They get the bumper sticker. The people that go to the all-star game get the certificate banner, and then the moms get the bumper sticker.
Could you imagine if, like, you know, we got a bunch of kids, they play sports, if we put up like a bumper sticker for every time like they participated in something? My kid got third place at the soccer. My kid got first place in ninth grade soccer. proud parent of a kid who scored 5 points in one game.
I'm down for all of this. You don't know how excited I am. I'm gonna put my kids into soccer now.
Just put a bunch of stickers all over your car. My kid scored one goal on the season.
Nah, I gotta have it like wallet size. I gotta have it like wallet size. So I can have it in my wallet. It's like, did I tell you what my kid did? Scored 5 points in a game. I got the sticker about it.
You go up to some parent and you just like show them the back of your car. You can't see out the window or anything. You get so many bumper stickers on there because of all the accomplishments, big or small, that your kid did in sports.
That sounds perfect.
Turn off your Skype.
I don't know why that's so loud. I have to disable all this stuff on my computer. See, this is what it feels like being back in America.
I'd slash all these tires if I see these bumper stickers. But good on your kid for scoring 5 points in a game. Let's see him change this tire here. I'd break the window, you know, just like accidentally throw like a baseball through it, acting like we were playing catch or something. Put that bumper sticker on your car. My kid forgot to catch the ball, and now this window's broken.
My kid has left like 46 footballs in your backyard this season. Send that certificate to the neighbors, and that's how you make it all up. An IOU. It's an IOU sticker.
Participatory bumper stickers. Participatory banners. Get them out of here.
Sign me up for all of this. So that's why the Cleveland Cavaliers should get an unbeaten. They should get an unbeaten sticker.
Last unbeaten team.
Last unbeaten team.
When they finally lose the next game, they hang the banner. Started. Yep. 12-0, whatever it might be.
Yep. That's the record. That's the record right now. And then they can pass on the banner to the next team that have like the best record at the end of the season. It's like the king of pro wrestling.
Dumb. No.
Sounds good to me. I like all this banner talk. This is the most discussion that we really got in depth about banners, guys. But I like what the Cleveland Cavaliers are doing. They got a nice little mixture of offense. Their defense is already been established. Like we saw that last season with the big men that they got with Mobley and Jared Allen. And yes, I disrespected Jared Allen last week. So my apologies to Jared Allen.
Yeah.
I wasn't familiar with your game. I saw a couple of stat sheets and I assumed some stuff and I was wrong. I can admit when I was wrong.
Hang the banner that you were wrong, SP3, wrong about Jared Allen.
I'm going to start making the banners in the background here. You're just going to see banners being.
Cavs are good. I mean, I liked them coming into the season. I like them going into last season. Now they're healthy. Last year they were dealing with a lot of different health issues. Garland was out of the lineup for a while. Mobley was out for a while. They're healthy. They're playing well. Getting these next three games. Money Mark said that Embiid might play in the Sixers-Cavs game. I don't trust Embiid playing any game until he's actually on the floor. So when Embiid steps on the floor, then, okay, we will have Joel Embiid. We'll have a conversation about him. Until then, he got suspended three games, wrongfully, honestly, for shoving, assaulting, whatever he did to the reporter. He shoved them, didn't assault them.
I mean, there would, if you ask some people, it was deserved. So, but some people,
it was deserved.
I think so as well.
100% deserved. Well, Embiid might be back for that game. I think the Knicks game is the first game he's eligible for, or maybe not. I don't remember when the suspension was handed down, but he's missed two. He's definitely missed the Lakers and the Hornets game. So maybe the Knicks game is his third game.
Okay.
Let's put out factual information. Expected to make debut. Yes, this is. He's expected to play this week. None of this is helpful.
Expected to play this week. I was looking at the other records that we got over here. Let me check. Joel Embiid.
So he got suspended after the Grizzlies game. So he should be eligible. Let's say it came down at the Phoenix game. The three-game suspension probably would have been Clippers, Lakers, Hornets. So he should be eligible to play against the Knicks, assuming he's healthy and back.
Yeah. I hope so, because, yeah, the Sixers need it. they need Joel Embiid back desperately because they're at the bottom half of the Eastern Conference right now. Another week of the Milwaukee Bucks at the bottom half of this Eastern Conference. You're looking good so far on your wildest take last week.
It's not wildest. It's hottest. It's hottest. Not a wild take. Yeah, okay. Hottest take. That team, Lillard's out now with concussion. Giannis is doing fake handshakes with Jaylen Brown. That team's just a mess. Again, I don't have much more to add from what I said last week. They're worse than I thought, honestly. Like, I thought they were bad because I'd seen enough of them playing. They're actually worse. They've had a semi-tough schedule. I'll give them that. Like, they've played some, like, really good teams. They've also just lost the teams that they shouldn't have lost. Like, they've played Boston a handful of times. They've played the Knicks. Like, they've had a semi-tough schedule. But your record is what it is, and they're 2-8. They should have beaten some of these teams. Like, they've played Cleveland twice. But their wins are against Utah and the shell of the Philly team that opened the season. Brooklyn is actually better than I think a lot of people expected. Memphis, that was when they were healthy. Chicago sucks. They should have beat Chicago. But otherwise, Boston twice, the Knicks, and twice against Cleveland. Those are the top three teams in the East. Those are tough games. You got to win one of them. They lost all of them. You got to win one of them if you're supposed to be a good team. But they got Toronto, Detroit, and Charlotte as their next three games. You got to go 3-0. You have to. Anything less than is a failure. Even at this stage, 2-1 is a failure. You have to go 3-0 against these teams.
I mean, I agree with you. These are winnable games for them. The Raptors, Pistons, Hornets. Even like the Rockets are good in my opinion. Like I gave my hottest take last week. That's going to be a tough game for them. The Bulls seem to be a tough game for them as well. And then they got the Pacers, so. If they can get out of that with like at least five wins, like three more wins out of that section of games, I think they are. They could turn this around.
They can't beat the Pacers. They can't. They always lose against the Pacers. Pacers are like their kryptonite.
But man, Tyrese Halliburton ain't playing that well this season. So
he was good last game against the Knicks. Yeah. He was really good against the Knicks. He's been a little inconsistent, but he was good against the Knicks. I don't have any faith that they're gonna beat the Rockets or the Bulls, though. They already lost to the Bulls. The Rockets are scrappy. You know, they'll play them well. So I don't have any faith that they're gonna win these games.
I can't argue with you on that. They haven't gave you anything to be confident about with the Bucks so far this season. So on the other side, on the Western Conference, I love how everything is just like very much even out there. Like, do you have the Thunder up top, but you have teams, you have a couple of teams with 8 wins, a couple of teams with 7 wins, a couple of teams with 6 wins, all the way down until you get to like the we get 5-5 teams like the Dallas Mavericks. What do you think about the Mavericks? I've seen a couple of people say that they're kind of like the most overrated team from the preseason into how they've started off the season.
I think the Mavericks are good. They Lively's missed a few games, but the Mavericks, they'll be fine. They're 5-5. I trust they'll turn around. They've had some tough losses. They've been competitive in like every game. I don't think like they've lost a couple recently. They lost to Phoenix, that went down to the wire. They lost to Denver, that went down to the wire. Like, they haven't like looked terrible in any game. And missing Lively is pretty big for them. They'll be fine. I'm honestly not too concerned about the Mavericks.
No, I agree with you there. I think that Luka, when you have one of like the top 3 to 5 players in the league, it's going to be hard for you, for us to kind of like count you out if you're just playing 500 ball right now. It's still early on in the season, and he's kind of playing more of like a passive, but he's playing well to kind of spread the ball around in different ways this season and giving the ball more to Kyrie to kind of have some good scoring nights as well. So they're still meshing together, and we saw what happened last season with where they had a whole season to come together, and in the playoffs, they played really well. I think we got to give them a chance in the beginning stages, especially getting with Klay Thompson on the team as well. And then, like you said, Derek Lively being out.
Yeah, I think the Mavericks will be okay. You know, the rest of the West is just injuries right now.
Yeah.
Durant's hurt, which is unfortunate because he was playing well. I mean, fuck Kevin Durant, but he was playing well. The Warriors look good, and they got blown out by the Cavs, but they beat the Celtics. That was a good win. They beat the Thunder, which it was a good win, but the circumstances are a little tough. That was the Chet injury, and okay, so I watched that game. The moment Chet got hurt, everyone in the arena knew something was bad, and the players just completely had a letdown after that, which is understandable. You watch your teammate go down like that, you can't put any weight on his leg. It's tough to mentally come back and play a game after that. They fought back. They made it a competitive game in the end, but they still lost. You know, the Chet injury sucks. OKC played J-Dub at center last night against Zubac. Hilarious that their center is 6'6". Just... we had no front court players. Hartenstein's hurt. Jalen Williams is hurt. The other Jalen Williams. Now Chet's out for 2 months. No centers. None. Still beat the Clippers last night.
Well, at least you're better than the Clippers. I'll give you that.
Clippers were on a 4-game win streak. They were playing well.
Yeah.
Playing well.
Yeah. No, that's actually a good thing because they're another team that's kind of played better than I thought they would to start off the season. So I'll give it up for the Clippers.
Norman Powell, I don't like him.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Why not?
He's just annoying. Like, you don't think of Norman Powell as being like, oh, Norman Powell's like good. Like, this is a guy you should be afraid of. He's playing really well. Like, more credit to him. I truly have nothing against him. It's just like last night was just super annoying. Like, he's hitting like these fall away threes. Like, when did Norman Powell be able to do this? Like, what is going on? Norman Powell just seems like a nice role player. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he's a good player to have on your team. If he's like your third guy, they're like, cool. If he's your fourth guy, even better. But he's out here hitting like fadeaway jumpers. He's an annoying guy to watch. Norman Powell, his career average, his best, was when he came over from the Clippers. He played well in Portland. He had some good seasons in Toronto. He's actually better than I give him credit for. But averaged 13 points last season. Like, no. That was, of course, a team with Harden, George, and Kawhi. So 13 points.
Again, most of the season.
Yeah. So, again, if Norman Powell and Russ was on that team, too. Like, if Norman Powell is like your fourth guy or something, that's not bad. But 13 points to freaking 26 points this season. I mean, they need someone to score, and he can clearly score. It was just annoying watching him last night hit these like fall away threes, like really well contested threes. Like, what is Norman Powell doing this stuff? What is happening?
They gave him the Kawhi Elixir. He's going to be the guy who's going to score for this team while Kawhi is out.
I mean, somebody has to. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah, see, he dropped 31 on y'all last night. Played 37 minutes as well.
Yeah.
So
he played really well. I mean, somebody had to. They got the ball to Zubac a lot because, you know, we didn't have any. Our center was 6'6". They probably didn't give the ball to Zubac enough, but he still played well. Harden was, like, fine. It was whatever. Daniel Jones Jr., I can't stand him. Derek Jones Jr. Can't stand this guy.
I mean, they've always had a lot of players that you couldn't like. Because they either talk trash or they're kind of like annoying players that you don't think should play as well as they're supposed to, especially over the years with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard being out so significantly. They've always had these players that are plug-ins that, you know, mesh very well and then play outside of their mind when these guys are gone.
They're well coached.
Yeah.
Team. And they play hard. Teron Liu is a very good coach. And they play really hard. They all buy in. And when you have less stars, you know, guys gotta step up. Guys can't take it like, oh well, Kawhi is gonna bail us out. Paul George is gonna bail us out. Like, gotta step up and they play to their role. So now they're a good team. And you know, they play hard. They played well. I mean, we beat them last night, but it was a tough game. Chet's injury sucks. Like, just sucks. I just assume he's out for the season. I always assume everybody's out for the season.
Don't assume that. You don't want to put that out there.
What? It's already out there. Are you kidding me? It's out there.
Well, I'm hoping he's not out for the season. But
They say he's not, but
2 months is still a long time.
Like, I know how these things go. I know. Reevaluated in 8 to 10 weeks. Yeah, Kevin Durant was supposed to be reevaluated every 2 to 3 weeks, and that turned into a season-long injury. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's a bad precedent.
I'm always gonna expect the worst. Just until they're on the floor, I'm always just gonna expect the worst. I'm not gonna get my hopes up. Like, oh, it's fine. He'll be back. Probably won't be.
I'm sorry if I got your hopes up when I predicted them to be the.
You didn't. Like, a lot of people predicted them to be good. I said they make the finals. I thought they'd lose to Boston, but no. I said I knew this team when healthy was good, but they're never going to be healthy. No team is really ever fully healthy. So the injury was always going to come. It sucks. It is what it is. Once Harden's
hopefully this is the worst of it.
Eh, we'll see. I'll feel a little bit better when Hardenstein comes back.
When is he supposed to come back?
Potentially the Mavericks game. That's what some people are kind of targeting. It could be a little bit after that. But the next two are against the Pelicans, who they're missing half their team, and the Suns, and they're missing KD. So those are like winnable games. The Mavericks will be a tough game because like the Mavericks beat us last year in the playoffs with Chet. If we have no rebounding,
are you frozen or am I frozen?
Okay. No, it was me.
Okay.
It was me.
Okay.
Yeah, if we have no rebounding and they have Lively and Gett, we're gonna get killed in that game. Like, we got killed last night by Zubac on the boards. You're gonna get killed on the offensive glass when your tallest player is 6'6". Like, what are you supposed to do?
There's nothing you can do when it comes to that. So I'm hoping he does come back for the Dallas game and that he's gonna, you know, fill the void for Chet for a while. So when Chet comes back, he can kind of get slowly reacclimated with the team because it's gonna mess up the chemistry that you guys were building and you were looking so good to start off this season. So
I don't think he's gonna mess with any chemistry. I mean, we'll see. Do you want to do top three, bottom three, and hottest takes?
Yeah, let's do it.
Who do you think is gonna win the NBA Cup, real quickly?
That's what I've been doing in this background here. I've been looking up the schedules for the NBA Cup. I've been doing my research, up to the minute, last minute research, and I'm gonna go with the Golden State Warriors. NBA Cup champions, 2024, very prestigious. NBA Cup champions, the Golden State Warriors. You got to keep the prestige up there with another dynasty-like team in the Warriors.
Okay.
Steph Curry, NBA Cup finals champion, or finals MVP. There you go.
Okay.
Did they do that?
I don't. Did LeBron hang a banner? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if it was important enough for a banner.
Yeah.
What's your prediction for the NBA Cup champion? Very prestigious.
I keep freezing.
Who, me? Or you? Yeah, you. I thought I was going to have the problems today.
Nah, I'm going to switch over. Hold on.
Okay. Louis says, Jordan never won an NBA Cup. Exactly. LeBron did something that Jordan could not do. He won an NBA Cup championship. That's it. When you compare their resumes side by side, you know, you would automatically look to six rings, to LeBron's four, and you say, oh, end of case, Jordan's better than LeBron. But when you look at all the other numbers and all the other statistics, that LeBron is over Jordan. And then when you add on the cherry on top, the NBA Cup champions, I think it's very scientifically, you could break it down that LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan.
Charlotte Hornets are going to win the NBA Cup.
All right, this man, he got froze too many times. He having brain freeze, and that's why he got
it. Why? Why? What's wrong with the Hornets? They play hard. They could win. Why can't they win?
No, they're not prestigious enough for the prestigious NBA Cup championship.
Why does it have to be a prestigious team?
Because it is. I don't know what the issue is. It just is the prestigious NBA Cup championship. Mm-hmm. Los Angeles Lakers. That's why you got to have the second one be the Golden State Warriors, you know?
So you say they're going to rig it for the Warriors?
No. Oh. I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. But all I know is that the Golden State Warriors, they're playing good basketball. They just got Steph Curry back. He's playing like he was playing in the Olympics in some games. So I think that the Golden State Warriors are the team to pick here.
All right. Yeah, who's your top three? Who's number three?
All right. Number three this week is the aforementioned Oklahoma City Thunder. I dropped them down to number three because of the Chet injury, but they're still 9-2. They still got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's playing tremendous ball so far, nearly averaging like a triple-double, nearly. So he's playing good for them. They got a couple of more injuries. They need Harkinstein back, like we said before, but I still believe in them enough at the top of the Western Conference to put them in at number three. Bottom three, who you got?
The Utah Jazz. They suck. I don't have anything good to say about Utah.
I mean, I can understand.
They should honestly be a little bit lower, but like they beat San Antonio. They actually went 2-1 this week. So like that's not terrible, you know. They actually won some games, but they suck.
Number two for the top three, we're going with the Golden State Warriors. Golden State Warriors up to number two so far. The team that's really surprised me the most. Didn't even have them in the playoffs, but they're playing good basketball to start off the season, even with Steph Curry being out a couple of games. Now he's back. He's playing well. I think that this is a good time to buy in on the Golden State Warriors stock because now they're being underestimated. So they're going to surprise a couple of these teams. They got big wins over the Boston Celtics, over the Oklahoma City Thunder. So got to buy in. Warrior and Thunder stock. That's my conference finals prediction. My hottest take. That's going to be the conference finals.
Okay. We'll get to hottest take. We'll get to that. The New Orleans Pelicans. They also suck. They're dealing with a lot of injuries. But I think we got to have the conversation about Zion Williamson. And just him not being the guy that you would have hoped he would have been coming out of the draft. Just too many injuries, too much wear and tear on the body overall. He's a good player when he's on the floor. He can't stay on the floor enough. And it's a shame because again, he's exciting to watch. He does a lot of, he's a bully when he's on the court. Defensively, he used to be a menace, like good, like playmaking forward. Obviously gets to the rim almost at will, but he can't stay healthy. And I just don't know if you're ever going to get a fully healthy season from him. Murray's hurt. Ingram's still there, but I don't know how helpful that actually is. I feel like McCollum's hurt. They got a lot of injuries. You know, it's unfortunate that with all their injuries, but they're just not a good basketball team with all these injuries.
Yeah. Injuries is going to hurt you. I mean, I understand injuries now, though. I can understand like some teams being like, it's going to be all right because it's early in the season, but it does kind of mess up with like chemistry wise of getting players back in. Some players might get hot while these players are out, and you might want to get them more time. So your team is going to change regardless. So I think they have to put that into account as well. But I'm hoping that like for most of these teams are going to say the worst is here and it's going to get better as the goes on. But I don't think so for the Pelicans, unfortunately, right now, because Zion Williamson is a case that's been going on for many, many seasons now. All right, number one for the top three, once again, the Cleveland Cavaliers, 12-0, still unbeaten, still number one in the top three. Boston Celtics, we done bumped them out of here due to that loss to the Golden State Warriors, so the Warriors jumped over them. And now we got the Cleveland Cavaliers sitting on top of the Eastern Conference, the best team in all of the NBA. You got Donovan Mitchell, who's scoring really well, shooting the ball pretty well from the field overall, 24 points per game. You got Jared Allen. Yes, the disrespected Jared Allen. I'm trying to send my deepest condolences for my dumb take last week of underestimating Jared Allen, who's averaging a double-double right now. So, yes. Got to show some love for the Cleveland Cavaliers. 12-0, number one for the top three. Who is number one for the bottom three this week?
The Blazers. I don't know what the point of this team is. Chauncey Billups is ripping everybody, as he should. Dominating is not dominating anything. Like 13 points. 10 rebounds. This team has nobody to score with basketball. You can't tell me he can't get to 15 points. Scoot Henderson doesn't look good. It's a shame. I had high hopes for Scoot Henderson. But man, he can't, like, get nobody on this team can score. Scoot Henderson can't find a way to just luck into points. Like 11 points on the season. 27% from three. He can't find a way to score. Nobody on this team can score. I love Jeremy Grant. I love Jeremy Grant in OKC right now. I think he's going to change. He's going to potentially change a contender. But that contract's also huge because he signed when they were trying to like retool around Lillard. So I don't know how you fit that contract in anything. There will be a way. Some team will find a way. But outside of Jeremy Grant, this team just, they got nothing. They got absolutely nothing. I don't know if there's a positive for this Blazers team. Like, these young guys haven't developed the way they were hoping. DeAndre Ayton, like, there wasn't too much hope for DeAndre Ayton that he would like be someone great, but you thought he would have been better than this. It's the number one pick. He's just not. The Blazers are awful. Just awful.
Well, I couldn't put it better than that. Yeah, I feel bad for Scoot Henderson. I've been seeing.
I don't feel bad. Play better.
I've been seeing all the talk of him being a fraud. People saying the Portland should have sold on that pick.
So
I mean, that's the debate, right? Is they could have traded that pick.
Criticism like that.
That's the debate, right? They could have traded that pick and kept Lillard happy and tried to build something. Instead, they went with Scoot, and he hasn't played well. There's still hope. I'm not saying like he's done. I don't want to just fully give up on the guy. Less than two seasons. Yeah. It's his second year. It's still time for him to figure it out. But the signs haven't been there so far. He's got to show something that he's not going to be a bust. Guys at least typically show something in their first season going into their second season. And he hasn't shown it. At some point, you got to show something. So he's still making millions of dollars to play basketball. He's got to play better. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for any of these guys. When it's a basketball conversation, I feel bad for guys who are still getting paid a lot of money just to play basketball. If it's injuries, there's personal stuff going on, then I'll feel bad for them. But if they're just not playing well, play better.
He's still got time, though.
He does.
He's still got time to figure it out, so I don't think you can call him like a fraud or that they made the wrong choice. I think it's been enough time where you can say if Portland made the right choice or wrong choice. I think that's fair conversation to have. But as far as like just soling on Scoot Henderson and saying he's a bust, I don't think that's the right.
I'm not gonna say he's a bust or a fraud yet, but he's gotta play better.
Yeah.
Like it's I was high on Scoot Henderson. I would have taken him over Brandon Miller. That looks stupid. So Brandon Miller has been good in Charlotte. So I want him to succeed. He just hasn't played well. He's got to play better.
All right. So that is all for us. We got the hottest take.
What's your hottest take? You want to do yours first? You want me to go first?
I'll save that big one that I talked about during the top three. I'll save it since I still got some time to. I'm gonna save it. I'm gonna put it in my chamber. See how this marinates with the Golden State Warriors.
Send it. Go for it now.
No.
Okay. All right. Fine.
I got plenty of hottest takes.
Okay. That we can
get into.
Okay.
So my hottest take. I am going to say my hottest take. Now I have to think now.
November 12th. Okay. I'm making sure, you know, we're keeping track of these hottest takes here. All right. What's yours?
I forgot. Yeah, let me get my notes out as well. I forgot that I have it saved here in my notes. I'm going to say the Orlando Magic. I'm going to go with the far one. The Orlando Magic will make it to the conference finals.
Okay. All right.
I won't say who's on the other side, but I like.
Well, the Boston's on the other side. You picked Boston to make the finals.
Well, aren't we going to do like mid-season prediction?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's going to change or not, but
okay.
Boston and the Cavs, I think is going to be most people's picks right now, but I think the Orlando Magic is going to surprise some people in the second half of the season.
Okay. All right. The Detroit Pistons are going to make the playoffs.
That's a huge one. Detroit Pistons, who were traditionally number one on the bottom three for all of last year. Now they're going to go all the way to the playoffs?
Yeah. It might be a play-in, and they'll win the play-in game, but they'll be in the playoffs. That's how I'm qualified. It's not really qualified. Like, it's the playoffs. Not play-in, playoffs. Now, if they finish as the 10th seed and win the two play-in games, that's still making the playoffs. So, yeah, I think the Detroit Pistons will make the playoffs. The East is bad. The East is bad. Cade, I said I was a believer in Cade. I still believe he's playing well. There's either the East. I don't think the Hawks are good. The Wizards suck. The Bucks, I think, will be better. Toronto, you know, like
Knicks are still trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
I think the
Knicks will be okay.
They're going to go on their hot streak this season. They're still trying to figure it out over there in Madison Square Garden. I don't think the Nets are going to be this good. They're like the Utah Jazz of a couple of years ago. They're playing pretty well right now. They're playing above expectations, but I think they're going to come back down there.
Yeah, I don't fully buy into the Nets. The Magic are good. Obviously, the Pacers, Celtics, Cavs. All they got to do is finish in the 7 through 10, and then I'll take them in one of these play-in games. I think they can make some noise in one of these play-in games. Like, they're not even playing that great of a team in there. Just got to win one or two of those games. I think they can do it. East sucks.
That was the moral of the story. Yeah.
The East is awful.
We both went with hottest takes in the East.
There's three teams that are 500 or better.
Yeah.
And one of them's 500.
And that's the Pacers, who many people have said have played below expectations, but they're still third in the
East. The Pacers are 5-5 and they're third. The Mavericks are 5-5 in the West and they're 11th. They gotta realign these comments. The teams in the West should be allowed to be traded to the East. That's a real hot take. Allowed to be traded to the East.
Yeah, we gotta go. No, we're giving hot takes, and then that's the hottest take. There you go. That's the hottest take. Trade conferences. There should be a GM for the.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Eastern Conference, a GM for the Western Conference, and we should trade teams.
Yeah, there gotta be a lot of trade teams. All right, let's hit the super chat, and then we're gonna bring our pal Cher Delaware to talk some challenge. King LSO says, should the Lakers trade for Trae Young, who would you give up? And then he just repeated it. That's your wheelhouse, SB3.
For Trae Young, I think Trae Young is very talented, but I don't know if his skill set fits with any one team outside of the Atlanta Hawks. But I think that if the Lakers did want to trade to give up him, you just don't give up LeBron or AD. Everyone else is available to you.
You give up Reeves for Trae Young?
That's tough. Y'all know how much I love Austin Reeves. I really want to do a sermon because, you know, I love Austin Reeves, but I think that everybody else is available. Trae Young is like a one of a kind, a one of a kind type player. So I think that you gotta kind of go for him. So you can trade like your Reeves, your D'Angelo Russells, those type of guy, a combo of those guys and any draft capital that we have left, because we purge on our draft capital every couple of years, it seems like, where we have multiple years where we don't have draft picks. So I'm hoping that would be what they give up. If they tried to give up like an Anthony Davis, I think that's too much.
No, they wouldn't give up LeBron or Anthony Davis. I think the conversation starts with Reeves, and then whether or not the Lakers entertain the conversation after that is up to them. D'Angelo Russell, that doesn't do anything for the Hawks. Reeves is at least a young player who can still grow into a bigger role. D'Angelo Russell is who he is. The rest of the Lakers young guy, like, you know, Dalton Knecht, I think he might be good. So he could be in there, but it starts with Reeves. That's got to be the best player I'm getting back in any Trae Young deal for the Lakers. Cause yeah, LeBron and Davis are off the table. If you're not going to include Reeves, I'm not going to have the conversation if I'm the Hawks.
All right.
I totally understand that. I totally understand that because I wouldn't even. Yeah, that's the kind of the lowest that I think that the Hawks should try to like get in return for Trae Young, because his reputation, for some reason, is hurt. Because I think that people like to say that he's like overrated, but sometimes he comes off as very overhated. So I think that there's
Trae Young's still very good. But it stops and starts with reach for me. Hachimura, Russell, Cam Reddish. I'm like, all right, if you want to include them in the deal, fine. But if you're not including Reeves, we're not going to talk. That's where I'm at. All right, let's bring on our pal, Cher Delaware. We got two episodes of the challenge to talk about. Hello, Cher, how are you?
I am doing well. I am ready to talk about this second episode because I laid in bed last night thinking about how pissed off I was about this.
It feels like I don't remember what happened 2 weeks ago. My memory sucks though.
So I think it's only been really two. Has it been like, no, it's been three. It's been three of the individual challenges so far, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, we have to talk about the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, so the first one is the, I think it's like a maze that they had to do, an obstacles course, where they went through and had to grab the coins and whatnot at the end.
Right.
And then the second one was the mini final with the purge.
Yes.
Okay, let's go back two episodes and start there.
All right.
Your memory's better. And mine on this stuff.
Try my.
Once you start talking about it, it'll trigger some. Yeah. Things, but I.
Yeah. So I forget what was the last elimination that we discussed, but from the no, yeah, it was Johnny beating Ryan.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And that stupid.
Stupid Mario Kart. Yeah. BS. Oh man. So Johnny, so basically this is the episode where they really establish like the Johnny and his Bananas Angels, which is probably my most disliked alliance that I've seen in the challenge in quite some time. But they're together, and then they go to the first daily challenge. I don't remember much from before the daily challenge, but the first daily challenge was the obstacle course, like we talked about, where they had to climb this ladder, climb like a net, then climb a ladder that brings you up, and then you have to like go down another ladder. You have to jump over the obstacle course, then climb down another ladder where you go down this like maze like structure where you have to grab coins, and then you go up to the top, you do a puzzle, then you have to like press a button that brings like the other part of the platform up, and then you climb across there. And then you have to go down again and get more coins through another obstacle course. And then you have to climb up, and then you go down and you go through like these big boxes to end your time. And if you are not able to complete it, you basically are stopped where you were and your time is stopped right there. And you get the penalties in that way.
I love that Bananas had to go first. He was like, random draw, Bananas. I was like, yes, he never has to go first. Like.
And you know he hates it because he knows he's teaching everybody how to do
it. Yeah, and then he was like, oh, now everybody's copying me. They learned from me. Like they couldn't have figured it out themselves. Okay, Bananas, you didn't even win, but all right.
He wants to take any credit, any attention that he possibly can get. So he went through it first, and he did very well because Bananas just, he's always good at these type of competitions as well. So it doesn't matter if he has to go first, he does pretty well. The one thing that he did mess up is that he forgot one of the coins. He like walked by it and he had to go back and get it. So everyone really learned from that one. But other than that, that was like the only flub up that he had. He went across the finish line pretty fast. There was a couple of ladies that didn't finish even the first part from the net to the ladder. And one of them was Cara Maria. Cara Maria,
And, you know, she talks about it more in the second episode. She's having a crisis of confidence because she hasn't won really any of the daily challenges after coming in second in the first one in the Invitational. So she's having like a crisis of confidence. Everybody, I think it was Naya, she thought that Cara Maria would do well because she does like rock climbing and she does like.
Yeah, because they showed her talking head saying Cara's going to kill this because she's a rock climber. And then like 2 seconds later, she's down. Okay, I watch these on Thursday morning, so it's been 2 weeks since I've seen this. Am I to remember correctly that the three people that Bananas nominated all disqualified on this?
Yes.
Michelle, Olivia, and Naya all got out.
Somehow Naya did worse than Michelle, who had a penalty because she was last in the first one.
God.
I don't know how Naya could do that. How she could do someone with a time penalty and Yas got to pretty much the same portion. She got farther and her time was better than yours. Olivia couldn't make it as well. I think she just got to the ladder and then she fell off. So yeah, the LOLs, the ladies of leisure, did not do well on this challenge. But Aviv at 5 foot nothing, she went across it with plantar fasciitis.
I have plantar fasciitis. It is some of the worst pain I've ever had in my life. Every time you take a step, your foot hurts. The fact that she could do that with plantar fasciitis is insane. Like, I had to wear a foot brace that kept my toes bent back to stretch that. And she's running that. Like, no way. That was, when she said that, I was like, all right, whatever.
Got to give it up for her for that. Yes. So I think the best ones were you had Kyland, who went across it very well for himself, went across it in pretty much faster than Bananas because it came down to him and Bananas, I believe. So he did well. Everybody else, they kind of did like the speed portion through, except for like the person that they focused on the most was Theo, because Theo, he did not do well. He did not do well in the puzzle. He was moving very slow. Theo's been a kind of a disappointment because I think that when we ranked everybody left after they got down to the single portion, we had Theo pretty high as a threat to win the final. And this was not the best showing for him in this challenge. And we'll get into the next one because he was last here. So he had a time penalty in the next daily challenge. And then on the woman's side, it came down to, I believe it was Jenny and Tori. And I think Jenny won the, Jenny. It was Kylan and Jenny were the winner. So Jenny won this one because I'm sure Cher will tell you she annoyed her on this episode here. And then for the ladies, I think it was once again Michelle who was last, was it? I think it was Michelle. It was Naya. It was Naya.
Naya.
So our friend Alan Geary posted, when Jenny gets upset, she forgets half of the letters in the English language and just starts making noises. And I was like, she really does. Like, she'll say a word and I'm like, how did you just turn a four-syllable word into one syllable? Like, what just happened?
She's got her own language. She's got her own. She just goes for it. So with Kylan in control, it came down. He had to pick between the ladies of leisure, who he's in an alliance with all of them because Naya's his girl, his showmance on the season. His two biggest female alliances is Michelle and Olivia. And Michelle understands that. So she goes to him and she tells him, there's, you know, no sweat off your back. If you have to pick me, it's fine. I'll go in there. I'll do well. But, you know, it's not going to affect our relationship or our alliance. So they are pretty all right there. You get more arguing, I believe. There was more arguing with Bananas and the ladies on this episode. Or it was the next episode. I don't know.
It was both episodes.
Yeah, it was both episodes. I get it all meshed together. If I have to review both episodes, they mesh together. But yeah,
every
I think this
five
was
seconds
the episode.
He's hiding in that closet from somebody. Like, he's just... a drama queen. He is a drama queen.
the biggest thing he did though was this episode where he basically blew up Jordan's game.
Yes.
Where he was like, who's in your top four? And Naya was not in Jordan's top four. He basically gave away Jordan's top four, and Naya thought she was going to be protected by Jordan, and Bananas completely blew that up and gave away mainly Jordan's, a little bit of Tori's as well, of like, mm-hmm. Yeah, who's in your top four, Tori? Like,
this was when they were like out, right?
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
was yelling, and then yes. him and Tori start screaming at each yes. other. Tori's like, why are you bringing me in this?
Yeah,
like,
because it was Olivia. It was Olivia that came up to him about his yes. comment in the episode before.
Yeah, calling her a snake.
Calling yes. her a snake. And yes. she was like, you know, you said that on purpose because I felt something, Ray, about last season coming off as a snake. And then he just made it a whole big show of himself. Like, he's like, oh, I know my top four. Does Jordan know his top four? He's like, yes. Naya, are you in his top four? Nope, yeah. you're not in the top four.
And that was when he tried to deny that he called her a snake, too.
He's yes,
like,
he did.
Did I call you a snake? did I say it was you I was talking to? Like,
it's like I was talking about an idea, and you were the name that I said after.
Bananas, it's very, he has the same like way of arguing with everybody, especially the women. It is deny that he did anything. Like, talk nope, never them. Said that. What's that?
Talk over them.
Yeah. Deny that he did anything, talk over them, and then act like they are crazy. Like, yes. that's the three things he will
gaslight
100% do. Yeah. He will be like, you're crazy. I never said that. Like, and yeah, talk over them. He will always do these things in any argument, especially with a female on these shows.
He's just known for it. He doesn't know how to speak to females. He doesn't know how to speak to humans in general.
He's just, he plays this game. That's it. He plays this game.
So, yeah. So Michelle going up to Kylan kind of made the situation easier for Kylan to kind of just choose Michelle to go in. So it was Michelle versus Naya in the elimination. And they basically had a math equation and then lifting chest and boxes over to like a circle. Not the most interesting challenge. Not when the two people who are doing it are saying that they're not very good at math. So I think that Michelle had the right strategy for this challenge, with just solving a couple of the math equations and then unlocking the chains of the boxes, doing a couple of boxes, and then going back and doing the math. Whereas Naya was trying to do all the math at once mm-hmm. before she started lifting any of the boxes. So that kind of messed up her whole time. She was
And old. They were trying to tell her. Like, they yeah. were trying to help her yeah. out. And I think that she would have won it if she would have listened to them. And she just, there was no way. And little bitty Michelle, like, doing all that. That was the freaking elimination that Bananas should have had the week before. I mean... Yeah,
they weren't going to send Bananas home on a math challenge.
No.
No. It had to be Dune Buggies and Mario yes. Kart.
Yeah. So Naya got eliminated. Not super surprising. She's been, you know, one of the weaker competitors, basically, her entire yeah. challenge history. All right, the next episode, we got a lot. Oh, am I frozen
well,
again?
No, you're good.
So you got to say who Michelle nominated then.
Oh, so yeah, Michelle, she shook it up because she nominates Bananas, Jordan, and Nehemiah because she's in an alliance with Kylan. So she wasn't going to say Kylan, and Kylan won. And everybody else is kind of connected to her Ladies of Leisure / vacation alliance type alliance that she has going on, that she's both of these in. So yeah, she protected everybody else like that. So she picked like three of the strongest guys that were left. But we would learn that a lot of that wouldn't matter because it was a purge next.
Yeah.
It was a purge and it was a mini final, which is always, you know, a tough one for everybody. All right. Do you want to get into it with the purge in the mini final here. So basically, if you finish last, eyes. Oh, am I good? Am I not frozen?
Yeah, you're good.
You're good.
You finish last, you go home. And male if you and finish female. Second, to, yes, male and female. And if you finish second to last, you go straight into the elimination like usual.
And then the female that finishes last gets a
penalty for the next challenge.
I did laugh very hard, and I think I told you guys this when Kara was like, double elimination. TJ's like, no double elimination. It's a purge. And she was like, you asshole. Like, same thing. Like, she was so mad.
So, mini elimination. It usually involves, again, a little bit of everything, much like the full elimination does. But the biggest thing is, of course, the running. And they're in sand dunes for this thing. And it looked very hot. And it always tests the cardio on top of the mental, because you always got to do some type of weird puzzle or memory game. And then some type of physical part of it as well. Let's just get into it. Laurel quit. She quit the mini elimination, and the very end, she gave up. I was personally surprised.
She gave up as soon as she knew that she was going to lose. She gave up before they could tell her that she was the loser.
She gave up when Kara beat her. So she was like, I'm going to quit this mini final. And then Kara called her out. It was like, she wasn't ready to run a final. She could talk all she wants about, oh, I beat her in the All-Star Force final. That wasn't a real final. That was a final where you got stars, where you got get out of jail free cards.
Yes.
And you had more than everybody else. And that's how you are.
It came down to her and Michelle, and they were playing like this match game. And Laurel could not do it. They were both taking forever. But Michelle. <picture. laughs> But Michelle ended up finishing first, finishing ahead of Laurel. And like the moment Michelle finished, Laurel was like,
she was done.
I'm out.
And she was like, this is not fun. I don't want to do this anymore. So I'm not going to do this anymore. And the thing is, I would have had so much more respect for her if she would have just been like, I'm going to lose. Why would I keep doing this when I'm going to lose? Like, this is terrible. No, she tried to act like it was her choice. Bitch, you lost. You were not. You were gonna be purged. Like, and then I felt bad for Nehemiah because he's still trying, and he got purged. And like Nehemiah, you know, he was in the three that could go in anyway, and then he gets purged. So then it's down to the two. But she made me so mad with this. All the shit that we've seen her talk all season online, and then she quits. And what made me more mad than anything was TJ not giving her shit like he does to everybody else. She quit. Like, she was in the back of that truck yelling at everybody, like, have fun. She quit. Why does she not get people going after her for that? Like, that was embarrassing for someone who claims that they're the greatest woman to ever play the challenge and then talk shit about other people quitting. I mean, we all remember the way that she treated Big Easy and then blows up and gasses out and is done. Like, you know, maybe you should be done with the challenge. You know, what was it that she said to Paula that time? You're 40, you're single, you don't have any kids, and you're still doing the challenge. So here we are.
You become the thing you hate.
Yes.
Kara made the point of, like, I think Laurel knew that the competition was actually tough this time around, and she just could not take that. And I'm sure that's part of it. Look, she was going to finish last in this challenge. This was, like, it would have been better. Like, she's such a child. Like, it would have just been better if you just lost. Like, you lost. Like, all right, fine, I lost. Like, this sucks.
People would have more respect for her if she would have just been like, damn, that sucks.
Yeah. like to act like you quit. Like, no, you lost, and that's why you got eliminated. You didn't quit over this. Like, you look so much worse by throwing this fit of, oh, I quit. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, it honestly just looks worse. Just lose. They're like, all right, I lost. I still hate all these people. I still think I'm better than all these people, but I lost.
Yeah.
Like, it looks so much worse just quitting like this.
She was embarrassed because she got beat by Michelle and she got beat by Olivia. And Tori killed it on this. Like, Tori was impressive as hell on this challenge. And she looked terrible. I mean, her performance was terrible. She was behind the whole time. And Kara didn't look great on it either. And we love Kara. Yeah. Like, Kara, I mean, she didn't place well in this either.
He didn't place ahead of someone with one foot.
Aviv finished before her.
Yeah.
And her and Aviv were like right there together. And Aviv still finished. I mean, Aviv killed it on this too with one foot, literally. Like, we saw her all taped up and everything going through there. But I was just like, I never expected her to just quit that way. And when she did, I was just sitting there watching it like, are you kidding me right now? And Nehemiah was even like, you know, I haven't done a challenge with Laura in a long time, but when she's made her mind up, that's what it is. Like, she's done. She's quit. Well, yeah, she was sitting there drinking her water. Like, she knew she was done. She couldn't figure out the puzzle. She was done. Like, I thought that the whole thing was just incredibly embarrassing.
It was very embarrassing. And I told you guys, like, I was surprised that maybe not that she lost. I mean, a little bit that she lost, because I thought Laurel had played a super strong game and was going to go all the way to the final. But I was very surprised at, you know, her finishing last. I wasn't as surprised at the way she threw a fit over it, because that's on brand for Laurel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very on brand for Laurel always to have those type of fits.
And then poor Nehemiah, he got last for the guys and no one cared.
I really hope that at the reunion they do discuss her quitting, though. That it's not just like, and Laurel got purged. Like, no, Laurel didn't get purged. Laurel quit. Like, there is a difference. If she would have got purged, it would have been like, damn, that sucks. That was really hard. No, she quit. Like, I do hope that they bring it up.
Please, please, please do. But yeah, Michelle finished second to last, so she'll get a time penalty on the next competition. And it's like, I think someone in the confessional says, Michelle's just going to play with a time penalty for the rest of the season.
Like, yeah.
As long as she keeps playing, she's fine with that.
Pretty much.
And then you had Theo, who finished second to last for the guys. So he was going straight into the elimination, and it was between Jordan and Bananas, who can go into the elimination against them. The winners was Tori, like we said before, and Kylan once again got finished first place. So back-to-back first place finishes for Kylan, and it was going to come down to
Did Jordan get second?
Yes, yeah.
Because he wasn't far behind Kylan, because I remember him being like, I'm fast, like following him up. And then Tori got right. Like, Tori did so well on this. I was really impressed by her.
Tori might be the person to beat right now. Yeah. Because of all her alliances and the people that she's close with on the guy side. Unless it's Bananas and she doesn't win, that's the only person who's going to put her into an elimination. And plus, if she goes into the elimination, there's not many of these women that I would say can beat her there. Yeah, so, yeah, I think that she should be the favorite right now, with Rachel just behind her. Rachel and Jenny right behind her. But I think Tori is kind of the favorite for the female so far.
I think this has been her best season performance ever, Tori's.
She's been fantastic. She won the season with her and Devin, but obviously individually this has been... Yeah. Like, by far, her best.
Yeah. Tori's always been very good, but yeah, she's really shown that she can have some humility as well as be funny. So, like, Bananas is not right for... And Bananas, oh my God, his behavior during the deliberation.
That was disgusting for a 40-something-year-old man. Like... I was sitting there watching it, like, this is something my 7-year-old would think would be funny to do. And when she goes back and is telling everyone about it, they're like, just disgust. Kara's face the whole time, she's like, watching all of it.
Bananas was cutting his toenails and brushed it onto the table and then brushed it onto Tori and Kylan. He says something disrespectful about Kylan's fashion choices. Then he says that Tori's not funny. And yeah, he is a 12-year-old, apparently.
Yeah.
For the whole deliberation.
This was honestly hilarious. Like,
he's ridiculous.
This was so over the top stupid of, like, he couldn't just go down there and have a conversation or just sit there and be civil and be like, all right, I know I'm going in. Because Tori's like, you know, maybe we can, like, mend fences, hash this out or whatever. And Banana's like, nope, I'm just going to clip my toenails and, you know, eat my boogers and all this stuff. And you can't do anything about it.
Well, and Tori, like,
what is happening here?
Tori even said at the beginning, like, she was trying to talk to him and he just kept talking over her. And she was like, this is the problem. You just talk over me every time we try to talk. Like, you can't. And he's like, I don't want to talk to you. Like, he's just a child. And I was going to send you guys a video yesterday and I forgot to send it. So Morgan, his ex, who was on what, one season? She was a Big Brother player, right? Yeah. So Morgan very rarely ever even brings up Bananas. Like, she just pretends like he doesn't exist. And they were discussing something about some country singer being a shitty boyfriend. I don't know. I don't listen to country music. But she was like, I had an ex who was a narcissist. And on my birthday one year, he was upset because all of the attention was on me. And he got a blowtorch and lit my balloon arch on fire on Instagram Live so that he could have some attention on my birthday. And as I was like, that is the best depiction of Johnny Bananas ever, because that's the way that he is. Like, he couldn't handle if they went into that deliberation and Tori was just like, obviously I'm not going to choose Jordan, it's going to be you, and she got to control it. No, he had to go in there and make it a big thing and be the one to control all of it and talk over everybody and everything. And then it was like, he did that for the last few episodes since it's been like Bananas going in so much. He's acted like a child, yelling at people and hiding in the closet, and, you know, like, he's just ridiculous. And it, like, it's funny, but it's also like, this is like a 44-year-old man acting like this.
The only thing I could say to defend him, and this is not me defending him because I can't defend, like,
and this is not me defending him.
I can't defend stuff that happens off camera, like you mentioned, you know, him, Morgan's story about him and, oh, right, I got to do this for Instagram and everything. Like, he is so content brained.
Yes.
That when he goes down there, like, it's not good content if I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. So instead, yeah, let me flick my fingernails and let me argue. Like, this is good content.
I think the thing with Bananas too is you expect him to be like that on a TV show.
Yes.
Because he wants, but like the fact that he's like that in real life is the concerning part.
Yes. Again, I'm not trying to defend him by saying that. When it's on the TV show, like, it makes a little bit more sense. But when it's also his entire personality off the TV show, then it's like, well, you can't really defend that at all.
I really wonder what he's going to do with his life when he is not getting casted on there anymore.
He's going to be, are you kidding me? He's going to be cast on this thing forever. They're going to do
75-year-old Bananas going against a 20-year-old.
Yeah. Like, Mark is
what? Mark Long is like, what, 50-something? Yeah.
Yeah, but Mark's not on the regular seasons every season.
Oh, well, they will do All-Stars more and more if it means more Bananas. Yeah. He's gonna be the host. You know, he's gonna be the host of this thing after TJ decides to give it up. He's 100% gonna be the host.
He's gonna be part of it about himself.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Bananas be like, back in my day, we did this elimination. He's telling all these war stories.
And they'll be like, who are you? I don't even remember you.
Oh, no. So many of these people are going to be like, oh, Bananas, man, such a legend. And all this stuff. They're going to be told.
He retired before I was born.
So Bananas got picked. Not unexpectedly. Yeah, he got picked. They played this game. TJ's only 47. Like, not that TJ's even that old. So TJ might be doing this for a little while.
TJ's just been gray and for a long time.
Yeah.
I think it was that wreck that he had that about killed him. It aged him. Yeah.
So Bananas and Theo, they play. You have to basically scoot through this box, but you're able to
elimination. Yeah. I thought this elimination was cool.
But you're able to put poles into the box. And so you have to weave your way through the poles. And the way you acquire poles, or you play a game of high-low, which, you know, a card is picked, and you say it's the next card higher or lower than that card. And if you get it right, then you get two poles while your opponent only gets one. If you get it wrong, you get one pole and your opponent gets two. So that's how it worked. And Bananas ended up winning. Basically, so they had a minute to get
this through. Was a rig job. This was rigged.
I want to say the amount of times that Bananas got like a two.
He got very low cards. Yeah.
I was like,
But just in general, for someone Theo size,
I did not realize he was 6'6", 6'7". I did not realize how tall he was. When they said that, I was like, Bananas is like 5'10". Like,
it's him. He can just crawl through it. I'm sure too. I could just crawl through all this different stuff. Theo can't do that. Like, this was rigged for Bananas to win. This would have been more interesting if Nehemiah was facing Bananas.
Yeah. Theo was still killing it though. He did great. This was the best performance he had the whole season.
True.
Yeah, Theo did very well. He got caught up in. And you could tell it was coming because they had a minute to get through initially, and then it got cut down to 30 seconds. And the last 1 minute portion, it took Theo every bit of like 40, 45 seconds to get through. And so when they cut that down and when they had to add a poll, it's like, oh, this is going to be tough for Theo.
And well, there was only like two times that Theo even won high-low and got to put two polls in. So Bananas had way less polls in his than Theo.
I do think in the end, Bananas is only up by like one poll.
Was he?
Because
Theo made a comeback.
Theo made a comeback, and then Bananas, you know, remember, got frustrated when Kylan was like, "You're only down one, Theo."
Oh yeah,
and
he was like, "Yeah, simple math. It's 2+1." Like,
right? Yeah, and then the next one, Theo like ended up winning, so they were even. And then on the 32nd one, Bananas won that, so he got up one poll on that. And that ended up being, I think it was the time more than the poll difference. Like, that
100%.
Like, the one poll definitely made a difference, but the time is Theo could not. Yeah, because
Theo got out like 3 seconds after the 30 seconds. Yeah. Like, it was definitely the time.
Yeah. So Bananas lives to fight another day.
And he picks, his three that he picks are the three who weren't cheering for him.
Yes, yeah. He's like, Tara, who was cheering for
Olivia
me?
Olivia and Michelle.
He didn't have that many options, honestly. Like, he couldn't pick Tori because Tori won. He wasn't going to pick Rachel, so
he wasn't going to pick Aviv. He wasn't going to pick Jenny. So it
he
was like
going to pick the Angels. So he had to pick the three ladies that were left who weren't cheering for him as well. So it was Kara, Michelle, and Olivia. Those are the targets for next week. And then I got the version where you hear the post comments and Laurel. Oh my god!
Oh boy!
I had a meltdown about this in our group chat as well. So we all know that they've got these stupid karma points. I'm so sick of this extra bullshit that they add into the game. Like, that was the deal with freaking All Stars 4. I'm so sick of this stupid stuff. What is a karma point? Like, that's idiotic. Okay, so basically, if all of your alliance gets sent home, you're gonna do really well because they're gonna give you good karma points, except if you're Johnny Bananas, apparently. Because Laurel, who he's had her back the whole season and been on his podcast defending her ass the whole season, gives him a one, says, I don't think Johnny, first she says, are you gonna show this, is Johnny gonna see this? I don't think Johnny's going to make it to the final, so I'm going to give him one. I should feel bad about that. One. Okay. I said this to you guys. What part of that makes any sense? If you don't think he's going to get to the final anyway, why not just give him a five? Why does that? That makes zero sense at all. Like, he's not even your competitor anymore. You quit. You're gone. So, like, none of that made any sense to me. The one person who had her back the whole time, she gives a one. And Bananas was livid when he was like, I thought that, who was it? Someone was on his podcast that he was talking to about it. And he was like, you know, I thought that we had each other's backs, but apparently not. Like, apparently I got snaked by this person. And everyone was like, you know, we know Bananas never forgets when somebody goes after him. But, like, is Bananas going to go after Laurel? Is that a good idea? No, he's not going to go after Laurel. But I was just like, this shows what kind of person she is. The one person who had her back the whole time. And she gives him, and she gave, didn't she give Jordan a five?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gives Jordan
he's
a five.
The big one.
Yeah. I was just like, are you kidding right now? Like, the whole thing was just mind blowing to me. Like, and like I said, Theo gets to do it as well because Theo went home and Theo says he's going to give Olivia a 10, but he can't. So he's going to give her a 5. Does Theo think Olivia is going to make it to the final? No, Olivia may not make it past next week, but he's still going to give her a 5 because that's his person. Like, the logic was illogical. It made no sense. I was so irritated. I was already annoyed with her. And then that, I was just like, you're a terrible person. Like, what are you doing?
She kept topping herself throughout this episode. First with the quitting, then with the whole ranting and raving afterwards. And then this at the end, just kind of backstabbing the one person that had her back the whole season, that's defending her, not just on the season, but on his podcast and social media and everywhere else, to just give him a one and then say, hey, I'm going to give this guy a 5. She gave Michelle more. She gave Michelle a 2, even though she doesn't think she's going to make it to the final. So what's the difference? Why are you lower on your friend, your quote-unquote friend, your alliance, than you are with someone that you have said you don't like and you don't want to like?
Yeah.
So that's Laurel for you. The less that we see her on the challenge, I think the better. I think that she's still one of the best and most dominant challenge competitors of all time. But I will say that quitting in this mini-final did lower her, where now it's a conversation, what's her place? I think she's an easy number one or number two or number three, but now that placing is a little bit more in question because there's a couple of ladies around her that I don't think would quit in the same fashion.
Yeah, if she wouldn't have quit, it would have been a whole different story. Would have been a whole different story.
We got a comment from Sabrina here. Her Instagram lives have been intense. We were talking about that in our group chat, how she has gone off the rails on the Instagrams because Nerys called her out, and Nerys completely just destroyed her. And then, so let me read Nerys's comment here. Hold on, I gotta find it. Why can I not? It's in our group chat.
I'll see if I can find it.
Okay.
We talk a lot in there.
We do. Yeah, we do have a lot of messages about all of this stuff. Okay, I got it.
Okay.
All right, so it was, imagine being 40 with no life, no friends, no man, no woman, no kids, and the most disgusting personality. And not only that, but the man you wanted never wanted you, and I got him. I guess I'd hate me too. And then she tagged Laurel. And then Laurel, went on Instagram.
Because Laurel said that Nerys didn't like her because Horacio told her that she was the greatest thing to ever happen to the challenge.
Greatest blessing. His greatest blessing.
So then Zach tweets, I'm pretty sure Horacio also told me I'm the greatest blessing he received from the challenge. And then Horacio posts a Instagram story, a picture of him and Nerys that says, my biggest blessing.
Yes, and then Laura went on Instagram and was just like, you're angry. And why are you so angry?
Yes, and kept saying, she's just an angry person. She's just angry all the time. And I was like, you are perpetuating a very bad stereotype right now, and you need to be quiet. Like,
it's not only that, but like, is there anybody more angry on the challenge than her?
I've never seen someone less self-aware than her. Yeah. Like, it is amazing. She's so angry. You're getting on live every day to yell about how angry you are.
Right. Like, you are angry whether you win or lose. Like,
yes.
You are one of the most angriest people I've ever seen on this show.
You have bad sportsmanship as a winner. You have bad sportsmanship as a loser. Like, you are just angry. And it's always funny because it's like, Laurel thinks she exists on a different internet than everybody else. Like, people aren't going to see the things that she says. And I'm like, yeah, you're saying that people are saying this, and then they're like, that's not true, you're crazy. And then she's like, oh, there you are, angry again. Like, what?
Just the worst. Just the worst.
Meltdown. She's crashing out.
Crashing out.
Let me pull up our draft here. I know I've lost.
I don't think I had any of those people because I've only got like two.
I know I lost my second pick. Laurel is gone. I don't feel too terrible about that. I want to win our draft, but at the same time, like, eh.
All right, Laurel, you lost.
Oh, Theo. I lost Theo as well.
Oh, yeah, damn.
SP3 lost Nehemiah.
That was a rough one. Oh, the entire fifth round is gone.
Damn,
now.
I forgot Corey was on the show.
Is that Naya? Where's Naya?
All I have left is Derek, Jordan, and Connor.
Oh, I lost Naya. Not that.
Yeah,
that
you was. Lost Naya.
Yeah, it was a rough week, rough couple of weeks. I lost three people there. Oh well. I'm not in too much better shape here, Cher. Like, I've got
no SP3's killing us.
Yeah. I feel good. I feel a lot better about Tori than I ever would have imagined.
SP3's got Rachel, Jenny, Corey, Michelle, Kyland, and Veeve.
SP3's
chat,
really
you still
shape.
Got Josh.
Chat still got Josh.
The chat still got Josh. He's going strong. And now it sounds like he might join an alliance next week. So.
Nah, okay. He's going to keep playing the middle.
I don't know if you guys saw the other day, Wes was posting about is it Traders that he's on?
Yeah.
Doing like media or whatever. And he said something about he embarrassed Josh so bad when Josh kept being like, I know we have a feud. And he's like, no, we don't. Like, I don't think about you. And he was like, I embarrassed him so bad he went to Telemundo, because Josh is currently on a reality show or whatever on Telemundo. And people were in Wes's replies like, wow, what a racist response and all this stuff. And they're like, no, he's literally on Telemundo. Like, they're like, he's being accurate.
Gotta love it.
And I think both of you follow Wes on Twitter.
Yeah.
Do you, Jeremy?
I think so. My algorithm sucks, so I don't.
Yeah, I see like the same four people and people I don't follow.
Yeah.
So they recently had a Real World Austin reunion. Only that he invited everybody to his house, and I guess like they watched their season back or whatever. Only two people weren't there. I'm sure you can guess one of them. Johanna was not invited. And he stated that it was easy to not invite her because she doesn't live in the United States. So it was easy to just, I listened to this on the Challenge Mania podcast. It was easy to just be like, no, just not going to extend the invitation. He said he told everybody else and they were cool with it. They were like, yeah, that's fine. He said if she would have been here, it would have been a different conversation. But he was like, there would be things that we would need to talk about. And he was like, you know, we were friends before we did anything else. but she was a bad girlfriend. So they kind of talked about that. And then the guy that didn't attend.
Danny
did not attend. And he said for Danny, that was a really bad part in his life. And he said he talked to Melinda. Melinda was fine with him coming. But he doesn't like revisiting that time in his life. And he was like, he was going through a lot on the show and everything. So he doesn't really want to watch that back. And so he didn't come either. But I thought that was cool that he like made his own little mini reunion for Real World Austin. And we love Wes. So
that's awesome.
Good on Wes. Good on Wes. All right. Anything else to get to from this week?
I don't think so.
All right.
I think that was everything.
All right. Cher Delaware, do you have anything to plug?
No.
SP3.
Follow me on the Twitter machine at TrueHillSP3. We will be live on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel in like 45 minutes reviewing last night's Monday Night Raw, me and Romeo, rated Raw reviews. So check us out over there. And any of my work over at SI.com as well. Check it out.
There you go. We'll be back next week talking the beginning of the NBA Cup, and we'll recap the latest episode of the
prestigious NBA Cup.
Oh, God, stop it. I might have to say that every single time, call it the prestigious NBA Cup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very prestigious.
Prestigious. Prestigious. Call it prestigious if you're going to do it.
Prestigious.
Prestigious.
We'll be back next week, everybody. Bye, everyone.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now, during our Black Friday sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed. Plus special financing. Limited time. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.